form, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God we serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, no, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, there's power in the mighty name of Jesus, and every war he wages, he will win. You know that tonight? And I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends. Oh yes, I know how this story ends. And I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. How many knows tonight that no matter what you go through, he already has a plan, an exit? Come on, give him some praise tonight. Come on. Yes, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. Come on. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. You take, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. You believe that tonight? Let me hear you declare it. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Come on. Oh, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. You take, come on. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Oh, you turn it for good. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, come on, let me hear you praise him tonight. You know, as Christians, we really need to praise him. Come on. Let's lift up a praise to him tonight. You think about everything that's going on in the world and all that the enemy's cooked up right now. See, we're like Judah. We need to go forth with the praises of God upon our lips. The Bible said, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise tonight. See, I believe the level of your shout really determines what's going on in your heart. And you've got something to praise him about tonight because you've been washed in the blood. Your name is written in heaven. Somebody say, yes, it is. You had every right to stand there at a distance, but you wrapped yourself in flesh and ran to me. Why would I need the proof of your existence when your mercy is the air I breathe? When your mercy is the air I breathe. I know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Oh, heaven is where you are. I can relate to the thief who hung beside you and received the gift that he could never earn. Wonderful grace, you can make it all new. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. Let your kingdom come in all the earth. I know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. I know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Oh, heaven is where you are. Oh, heaven is. Come on, give him praise tonight. Amen. Won't you step out and greet somebody tonight and tell them God is good? All the time. Let's have the ushers to come. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we just speak life over where that accident is. We ask you to spare life, Lord God in heaven. We pray that you dispatch your angels, Lord, to them, to minister to them right now. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your miracle power and anointing. And Father God, we thank you that you're the resurrector. We ask you right now, Lord, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And we believe right now, God, for that mighty touch upon them. In Jesus' name, we pray right now, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was trying to think of what kind of an intro I could give Laura Lee, the illustrious. Dr. Barry's wife. No, man.
Can you hear me? Okay. And Cameron even asked me if we get participation stickers. If you did your homework tonight, you get a sticker. But if you didn't, you don't get one. So, who did their homework? Well, how wonderful. You get a flag one. How many of you did your homework? Raise your hand. Brian Hutchins, you're lying. Anyway. There you go. What was the homework? You get another one. Daryl and April had a special assignment. Did y'all do your homework? I know you did. Who else? I'm going to guess. Here, pass those around, please. Get you a sticker, and I'll start some over here, too. Okay, what was the assignment? Who can tell my husband what the assignment was?
35.
Psalm 35. And what else? And to read the Declaration of Independence. And to be able to name one of the grievances the United States had against who?
Britain.
Great Britain. Thank you. Okay. Well, I'm just real excited about tonight. This is, it's been an awesome experience doing this. But I really want to open with prayer, because this was tough, because just to narrow it down, there's so much information. And I challenge you again, be like the Bereans, be a student, study for yourself. There's so much out there. And like I said, there are some awesome resources. Old history books are awesome. And Wall Builders, David Barton, the John Birch Society, these are all really, really awesome resources to get the truth. Because Wall Builders has over 100,000 documents before 1812. So that's where the truth is, these written documents. So let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this privilege, this honor to teach this. To teach history, his story, your story, Lord, of our nation. Father, I ask you to give me every utterance, Lord, what you want me to say. And I want your truth to be known. And I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you for everyone that is here, and especially those that did their homework. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, I'm a teacher. So, all right, well, let's look at the title. One nation under God. What does that mean? What does that phrase mean? And of course, everybody's trying to tear it down. But are we truly one nation under God? Not right now, we're not. We're kind of divided. But originally, the way that the founding fathers wanted it to be would be one nation under God. And so we're going to talk about the faith of our founding fathers and that we are truly have a biblical heritage. We do. We have a Christian heritage. So we're going to talk about, we talked about foundations last week. We talked about the British colonies, and one reason that they were formed was for religious freedom, okay? And they came over here, and the Mayflower Compact, one of the first documents, the founding documents of government in the colonies, was very explicit in wanting to be ruled by the laws of God, the Great Law of Pennsylvania, William Penn. Again, wanted that to happen. So, the British colonies, we were colonies of Britain. Now, we weren't independent states. We were 13 colonies, meaning the mother country was across the ocean. And he ruled us, the king and the parliament ruled us from afar. Okay? Well, there's some problems with that, as you can see. Communication is one of them. How long it took. It took months to get on a ship from to and from. And so that was one of the problems. So we rocked along for a while, and the tensions started growing as we became a country that became more prosperous and became more numerous. And at the time of the revolution, there were about 3 million people. It's about 300 million now, I think, close to it. So we're going to review a little bit. And there was an event that happened that was pivotal in the ideas, spreading the ideas of independence. Who remembers what that was? Happened in the 1730s and 40s. Who knows? Who can tell me? I'll give you a name. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield. What was it? The revival, the Great Awakening, okay? It was an amazing time of revival in this nation. It said that out of the 3 million people, 2.4 of them actually heard George Whitefield speak. That's amazing to me. That is 80% of the colonies heard him. And they not only heard these preachers, they read their sermons. They didn't have Xbox and Netflix. They didn't have any of that stuff. So they read. A lot of people read, and they talked to each other, and they sang and things like that. So remember what Benjamin Franklin said about Philadelphia, what the change in the inhabitants? Said you could walk down the street and hear praises coming from families. That That's amazing. That's amazing. So the founding fathers heard these sermons. Let me make sure I get my clicker right. Okay, here we go. Oh, she's got it all fancy. Okay, so this is what John Adams said about the founding of our nation. The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. And that was one of the founding fathers. He helped write the Declaration of Independence. And this is what he said. So that's pretty amazing. Now, why do we need to be worried about this? Why do we need to be worried about history? Do you remember what Matthias Burnett said? Oh, I'm doing the wrong thing here. Okay. He said, to God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. So it's up to us. We have responsibilities. We can enjoy all these liberties and all these freedoms, but we have responsibility, just like the election yesterday. That was a responsibility. That was part of your homework. You did do that part. Half a star for you. Okay. Bless his heart. Okay, so... So we're talking about the Great Awakening. I got ahead of myself. I get so excited. I get ahead, but I've got to stay with my slides here. Okay, so John Wingate Thornton, who was a great professor and study of civil law, said this. He wrote a book called The Pulpit of the American Revolution. And he said, whoops, let me change the slide. I changed it on my iPad. To the pulpit, we owe the moral force which won our independence. Well, how about that? Pastor can preach politics. That's what they did. And Abraham Lincoln also said that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence should be preached in the pulpit so that the people would know the truth and what our history is and what our founding is. That's pretty amazing to me. So these founding fathers were young men at the time of the Great Awakening. So like I said, they heard these sermons, they read the sermons, and also they grew up with the Bible as their textbook and other textbooks that were based on the Bible. Okay, so they were very indoctrinated with the Word of God, which is amazing, and you can see that in their writings. So we come up to the point, the tensions are growing between the colonies and Great Britain. And for a lot of different reasons, and we're going to talk about that when we talk about the grievances that are in the Declaration of Independence. So I feel like I'm really hot on this mic. Sorry. Okay. Just don't mute me. Okay. Okay. Smarty pants, that's my brother-in-law just muted me. So the colonies all got together. They sent delegates to the First Continental Congress in September of 1774. And they were trying to figure out, what are we going to do? This is getting ridiculous. The oppression, the tyranny that we're coming against is getting ridiculous. What are we going to do? So they met in September of 1774. And what's the first thing that they did? Can anybody tell me? They prayed for how long? 3 hours. That's amazing to me. That is amazing to me. That they prayed for 3 hours. And what did their Bible study consist of? What psalm was your homework? Psalm 35. Okay, who can tell me what Psalm 35 is about? The Lord fighting for you, right? Against your enemies. The Lord protecting you and being your shield and fighting for you against your enemies. Pastor, do you have anything to say about Psalm 35? I know you've been studying that one too.
Well, you know, I think it's a good psalm.
Absolutely. Yes, we should be praying Psalm 35 for our nation right now. And if you read the words, they're so powerful. They're so powerful. Gosh, I'm so sorry. All right, so they pray for 3 hours. So they started deliberations on their knees. That's an amazing thing. What if Congress did that now? Wouldn't that be amazing if before every session, all of them got on their knees and said, God, help us. Help us to rule the way you want us to. Wouldn't that? Wow. It would be amazing. So from this First Continental Congress, they had a list of grievances. A list of complaints, like, okay, this is what you guys are doing against us. They sent it to King George. Now, this is 1774. They sent it to King George. He completely ignored it, and things got a lot worse. Okay? Now you've heard about the Boston Tea Party, the battles of Lexington and Concord, and that happened in 1775, a year before the Declaration of Independence was written and signed. So you can see how things are escalating and escalating. So in May of 1775, the Second Continental Congress convenes. They get back together because they saw that the first one didn't make any difference to the king, so we got to do something. So during this time, they commissioned the army. They got an army, the Continental Army, and they created a post office and then money, currency. Okay, that's some, just some of the things they did. They did a lot of other things, and that's why I want you to study. You need to look and see what they did. Then by the time 1776 rolls around, and I'm going somewhere with this, we need to know how what led up to this. There was a delegate from Virginia, and his name was Richard Henry Lee. The Lee family has been influential in Virginia politics for years and years and years. They've been a family that has given a lot to Virginia. And so Richard Henry Lee had this resolution, and this is what it said. Resolved, these United Colonies are, and of the right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain ought to be totally dissolved. So he's the one that came up with that resolution, and that was in June. Well, you know how Congress is. They had to sit around and talk about it for a long time. And so it wasn't until June 11th that they decided, they decided to get a committee together to write a statement called the Declaration of Independence, okay? And this committee of five, I want you to look at these names. John Adams, he was from Massachusetts. He was the one that had the quote about what the Founding Fathers believed, that they wanted to base the principles of Christianity that the government wanted, they wanted to base it on Christianity. Benjamin Franklin, Pennsylvania, a great statesman. And he's the one that, I mean, people think he's a deist, but if you look at his writings and some of the things that he said, I believe he had a relationship with the Lord. I really do. He's the one that asked at the Continental Convention, which didn't happen until 1789, 11 years later, or how many years later? 13. Well, yeah, okay. It was 89 or 87. Thanks for doing the math for me. You get a gold star. But he said, we need to get back. We need to go back to the beginning where we prayed. We need to pray again because it almost fell apart. When they were doing the Constitution, there was arguing. Imagine that. And they couldn't agree on the Constitution. So they said, we need to stop everything and we need to pray. That was Benjamin Franklin who said that. And Robert Livingston. Now, how many of you heard of Robert Livingston? Alan Coakley, probably you have. Okay, he was called the Chancellor. Chancellor Livingston. He was the Chancellor, the highest legal person in New York. He was a very respected man. He was the one that gave George Washington the oath of office when he became president. So he was on the committee, but sadly he had to go back to New York and did not sign the Declaration of Independence. He was on the committee to write it, but didn't sign it. Isn't that sad? And then Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the bulk of it. And Benjamin Franklin wrote a lot too. There was a lot of give and take. And as you can see in this picture, there was a lot of deliberation between. That's a picture of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, all those dudes on the Committee of Five deliberating and trying to get the copy as it is. So on July the 4th, 1776, the president of the Continental Convention, who knows his name? Big signature in the middle of the Declaration of Independence. John Hancock. He was the one to sign it on that first day on July 4th. And some think that's the reason that he made it so big. The myth was, and the legend is, that he said he wanted the King George to read it without his spectacles. Okay, so that July 4th is when that it was signed and the church bells rang to proclaim liberty throughout the land, which is scripture. So it wasn't until August the 2nd of 1776 that all 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. So, but we're going to look at those names of the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence. And I want you to really study those people and look at their lives and look at what happened to them. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But we're going to start talking about the Declaration. It was not only the Declaration of Independence. It was the Declaration of the United States. It was the Charter of the United States. And this is what Abraham Lincoln said about the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is a rebuke and a stumbling block for tyranny and oppression. Okay? So, now, and I want you to look at the meaning of the word charter. I thought this was amazing. And this is why we need to be students. Okay? Well, this slide's first, then charter. Okay, so this is what the archives.gov says about the Declaration of Independence. It states the principle on which our government and our identity as Americans is based. So that's the purpose, okay? And in other words, it's a charter. And I looked up the word charter, and the Latin word for charter means map. And I think that's very interesting. A charter is a written statement in which a country is formed or a company is formed or a club is formed. It says it declares we now exist. Okay? And in that charter, it tells the ideas and the principles that that country or club or corporation will stand for. So the charter is the map. And I think that's very interesting because the Declaration of Independence is the charter for our country. So it's the higher document. Okay? Just like in a corporation, your charter is the highest document and your bylaws have to agree with your charter. Okay, you see where I'm going with this? So the Declaration of Independence or the Declaration of the United States was the charter. So it was the higher document. So therefore, the Constitution has to agree with the Declaration of Independence. And a lot of people forget completely about the Declaration of Independence, and it's all about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. But it all has to go back to what the Declaration said. Does that make sense? Y'all see that? Okay. So, there's a very important statement in the Declaration of Independence that a lot of Americans want to erase. And it says, we want to be ruled by the laws of God. Okay? Does anybody know how many times God is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence? 5. 2 in the first paragraph, 1 in the middle section, and 2 in the last. Okay? So that's very interesting. That's very interesting, interesting point to think about. So, now we're going to talk about our homework. Okay. So, if you read the Declaration of Independence, there's something called a preamble. And all the preamble is an introduction. And I ask a star pupil to help me with this. Are you ready? He's looking around. I was picking on Daryl, and I told him I wanted him to recite the Declaration of Independence, but that's ridiculous because it's a lot. So I just asked him for the preamble. Now, the first part of the preamble says this: In the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws in nature and of nature's God entitle them a decent respect in the opinions of mankind required that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. So that's exactly what this declaration is. It's going to tell the grievances, all the list of things on the reason they want to separate and become an independent country. All right, so Daryl, here we go. Nope, no cheating. I'm kidding. Okay.
No, you don't have to bring that on.
No, I do too. Here we go. Here we go.
First sentence.
Just the first sentence.
We hold these truths. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Good job. Everybody give him a hand. He did his homework. Okay. All right. So, who can name a grievance? Now, we know that everybody knows taxation without representation. Was that even in the top 10? No, it was number 17. Okay? So I really seriously want you to help me out. What was one of the... Say that again? Yes, they seize weapons. That's what they were trying to do in Lexington and Concord. They were trying to get the weapons and the powder and the ammunition. Okay? What else did they do? What other oppressive act did they do? Alan? Yes, quartered soldiers. And the soldiers were above the law. They would like come in and you'd have to feed them and house them, and they just ran just rampant over everything and didn't really care. And we had to take care of them. Or, you know, and they did siege to Boston. They held Boston in siege. What else did they do? What about the ships? What did they do to the ships? They took our ships. Have you ever heard of a pirate? Privateering is what it was called. And that was the British government hired these people to ransack and to take all the goods from these ships. And one of the signers of the Declaration, Carter Braxton, lost his whole fleet to that. So, you know, that's a pretty horrible thing. All right, what else? What else did they do? What? Yes, limits on the commerce and on the trade embargoes. They didn't want us to trade with anybody. They put limits on the amount of people that could come. They told the settlers they couldn't go past the Appalachian Mountains to settle. What about, like I said earlier, they were in England, we were here. And they didn't offer any kind of participation. It made it very, very difficult for the colonies to send representatives and to be a part of the government. And they made it very, very uncomfortable and extremely hard for them to do that, for us to participate in the government. Okay? And, of course, they imposed taxes without our consent. They deprived us, in many cases, of the benefit of a trial by jury. If you were convicted, if you were arrested, you didn't get a trial of jury of your peers. You didn't get that. And they also had, the judges were in the king's pocket. So there wasn't anything fair about that. He controlled all the judges. He kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. So there's about the armies. Okay, so there were a lot of things that they did, that Parliament and the King of England had a lot more power than they do now. They're really just a symbol now, but the King of England had a lot of power. And then, and like I said, he wasn't sane all the time. He had lapses of insanity. He would lapse into insanity. So, does anybody else have a grievance? It's pretty fascinating. I know some of the words are pretty tough, words that we don't use anymore. But if you... Yes, we did. We had to feed them. Yes, and forced housing. Yep. And they would come in and take over your stables. And if they wanted to, they'd take your horses. Anything like that. So, they were pretty much above the law. And then the German soldiers, the Hessians, they were hired too. And they came in and wreaked havoc also. So, let's look at the last paragraph. Does anybody have their copy of their Declaration of Independence? All right. So, this last paragraph summed it up. And I want us to really look at the last statement. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, at the beginning it was the colonies, and now it's the States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge, that's the Lord, of the world, for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. So they want to be no longer colonies, but free and independent states, that they are absolved from the allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states might right do. And, this last thing, and for support of the Declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, if you have your Declaration of Independence, I want you to turn the page over and look at this list of names, okay? Now, that's a pretty bold statement, and it's one that they didn't throw around lightly. I mean, it's just words on a page for us, but for them it was reality. They pledged each other, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Like I said earlier about Carter Braxton, he had a fleet of ships. He was very, very wealthy. He lost his entire livelihood from the privateering and the British attacking his ships. So John Hancock was a very, very wealthy man. There was a place in Boston called Hancock Wharf. It was named after him and his family. And they had lots of merchandise. They were in shipping also. And he lost his fortune. And he said that. He said, you know, if it comes down to that, you know, I'll give my fortune for this cause. He believed in it that much. And so they signed their names to this document. And what did it mean? They were British citizens still, remember? They were. So it meant what? Treason. Treason. And what happens if you're convicted of treason? You're hung. You die. You're executed. Okay? So they knew by putting their John Hancock on this document that they most likely, they could sign their life away. So there were some pretty brave men. Okay? Pretty brave men. And now we talked a little bit about, and I want to go into some of these guys on here that are lesser known. I mean, we know Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, John Adams. We know all those guys. But there's some people like Richard Stockton. How many of you ever heard of Richard Stockton? He's from New Jersey. And this is what happened to him because he signed the Declaration of Independence. He was kidnapped by loyalists who stripped and plundered his property. He was put into prison and tortured. And he died before the war ended. He never saw his country free. Isn't that really sad? But he did that for who? For us, for posterity. He believed in the cause so much, right? Find John Hart on there. He's also from New Jersey. These guys from New Jersey had it rough. Now, they said his priorities were this: his savior, his family, and his farm. And they were all destroyed, except for his savior. They were destroyed. He was chased from the bedside of his dying wife by loyalists who were loyal to the king, okay? And he had to go into hiding. And they burned his house and made his fields desolate. And he ran into hiding, and he hid in the woods and slept in caves because they were chasing him. Isn't that awful? And he also died before the Revolutionary War was over. Isn't that sad? He gave up everything, okay? Francis Lewis, he's from New York. His wife was taken prisoner. Now, wouldn't that be hard? Would it bear? I don't know. Maybe could. No. But his wife was taken prisoner. Okay, and she never regained her health because she was treated so abysmally in prison. You know, it's prisons today are luxurious compared to what they were. They were pretty much dungeons back then. It was very cold and damp, and they really just had bread and water, and that's really all they had. And she never regained her health, and she died. And Carter Braxton, we talked about him several times, that he lost his whole fleet. Robert Morris, okay? Robert Morris was called the financier of the American Revolution. He was the one who raised the funds, okay? And what he had to do, because the funds were not readily available. France finally did come in and help us some, but he got loans, and he used his property and his fortune as collateral, and he lost everything because the United States, we were pretty poor. We never paid him back. So he lost his fortune. So he did pledge his life and his fortune and his sacred honor. All right, John Witherspoon. Now, John Witherspoon was an amazing man. He was the president of Princeton, and Princeton at that time was called the College of New Jersey, and it was formed during the Great Awakening to train evangelists. Is that amazing? That's Princeton, okay? And John Witherspoon was one of the great professors there and the president. And I read, and we're going to talk about him more next week, that he had an amazing legacy of people that came out of his classes and out of Princeton. James Madison, president. Aaron Burr was a vice president. You know, senators, chief justices. I mean, the list is like 80-some people. 86 people, I think, came out of Princeton from him. He was their inspiration, okay? And he was one of the signers. So it's pretty cool because he was in there with his students. He was the professor, and his students were with him signing the Declaration of Independence. I think that's just amazing. And he had a son who was killed at the Battle of Germantown. And he also had his theology library burned to the ground. See, they knew where to get people, okay? 17 of the founding fathers' houses were burned to the ground. 17 of them. And let's see, I was just going to try to see if there's any more. Abraham Clark had two of his three sons that were held prisoners, tortured, and abused. And so it wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't just like, I'll sign my name. They knew what they were up against. And so I think we really need to honor them. Oh, I saw one more name. Thomas Nelson Jr. He's from Virginia. And it was his house at the Battle of Yorktown that Cornwallis took over his house to be his headquarters. Okay? So Thomas Nelson, who was also in the war, was an officer in the war, went to General Washington and said, look, Cornwallis's headquarters is at my house. Destroy it. So he told him, destroy my house. Is that amazing? How many people today would be willing to give that for the nation? You know, how many people? So I challenge you to look up these guys. See what their lives were like. See what they did before and what happened to them, what their fate was because they signed the Declaration of Independence. So, does anybody have any questions? Please add something if there's something else that you guys want to talk about. Okay. Well, I was going to copy the Constitution for you, but it was 19 pages, so not going to do that. But yes, Tom. The Declaration of Independence, the Committee of Five? Oh, I probably. Yeah, they may have. I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably. Grape juice. No, I don't know. They could have. Alan, do you have any insight into that, what they did? I don't know, but I know they deliberated. I love that picture of them, the drawing, you know, just really into it, talking to each other, because I know that Benjamin Franklin had done a draft of the Declaration of Independence, and then Thomas Jefferson had done one, and it was a combination of the two. Of course, I think they took mostly what Jefferson said. Yes, yes.
John Adams?
Yes. She thought he was from Bassett? I don't know John Adams from Bassett. I don't know him. Is that somebody from Bassett?
Oh,
was the store, okay. John Adams, he was from, it's his descendant. Yeah, so Massachusetts. Okay. Well, we're going to get you guys a copy of the Constitution Declaration in one thing, so you can have it. I think everybody needs to have that, and we need to be students of our foundations. Just like we need to be students of the Word, we need to be students of what our nation was founded on, because it's in peril. You guys know that. I mean, the way that things are going. I mean, Pastor Deborah sent me an article about Omar, Congressman. What? Yeah, whatever her name is. Said that the Constitution was that it should not be that it should be that it was it didn't mean anything, and they wanted to get rid of it. She wanted to get rid of it. Yeah, no, she's not. So it's very interesting. And then During the coronavirus, when all these restrictions were put into place, the governor of New Jersey was asked, did you consult the Bill of Rights when you were doing these restrictions? And he said, no. Really? So next week, we're going to talk about the Constitution. Now, there were really two sets of founding fathers. We talked about the founding fathers that wrote the Declaration of Independence, okay? So that happened, all right? And then we had this long war, okay, that really started back in 1775 with the Battle of Lexington and Concord. Do you know what Ralph Waldo Emerson said about that? Does anybody know? The shot heard around the world? Yeah, and he also wrote the awesome poem, Paul Revere's Ride, which wasn't really, really accurate, but it's great literature. So read that. It's really cool because it has the cadence of a horse, like you're riding a horse. It's really cool. So read that. Because he was not the only one that did the midnight ride. He had a lot of help. Who's doing that? Anyway, he's over here riding a horse. Okay, so we had the war, and Washington was a commanding leader. Do you remember I told you he was really, really tall? He stood head and shoulders above the rest. He was very respected and revered, and he was handpicked for this job and chosen and protected by the Lord. Do you remember I told you the story about him in the French and Indian War? When he got home, he had 4 bullet holes in his jacket. Amazing. So he was the guy for the job, right? And it was very rough, okay? Because Great Britain had the greatest army in the entire world. And what we had were farmers and merchants. And they were called Minutemen. Does anybody know why they were called Minutemen? They had to be ready in a minute. And you know what they came out with? Pitchforks. Some of them had pitchforks and axes and whatever else. And musket, you know, whatever they had. And they had to be ready in a minute. Okay? So there was no money. The Valley Forge. That was a horrible time. Some of those men didn't have any shoes. They had walked out of their shoes and their feet were wrapped in rags. And they almost froze to death. And you know, there's the famous painting. What did George Washington do? He prayed. He prayed. Lord, help. Help us. So I really, again, urge you to look at these events and these personalities and where their faith was, and you'll see. Okay? So in these intervening years, there was a very loose form of government. Does anybody know what it was? Before the Constitution. Does anybody know what it was? The Articles of Confederation. Gold star for you. Articles of Confederation. Okay? So that's what kind of loosely held us together as a nation. Okay? Because we were still wanted, some of them wanted, the states wanted to have more states' rights. Some of the politicians wanted to have more federal rights or more federal control. So that's where the deliberation comes in. And so we're going to really talk about the next set of founding fathers. Some of them were the same. There were some that signed both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And we're gonna talk about them next week. So I'm gonna give you some more hope. Did you have a question? Okay. Yes, that was John Hart. Yeah. He was chased out of his house, and when his wife was dying, and he ended up in the woods. When he came back, he had 13 kids and they were all gone. And so he had to go try to round them back up again, and then his farm was just laid waste. So, you know, we really need to think about that and not take our rights and responsibilities so lightly. We do. Yes. She was saying that there was a regiment in the Continental Army called the Black Robe Regiment. They were ministers, but they also fought in the war. Now, that's a picture. Because ministers are warriors, right? And they were fighting for the cause. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yes, lots of them. Yeah. So you guys look up that, the Black Robe Regiment. Yeah, there's so many instances like that. And how miraculous, some miraculous things that happened that turned the tide in the war. So look that up. So next week, I'm going to give you the Bill of Rights. Yeah, and am I going to have to make y'all raise your right hand? So y'all do your homework. No. But we were going to do the Constitution, but it was 19 pages. So we gave the Bill of Rights. So y'all take one, just look it up. And if you want to, take a gander at the Constitution to look at it and the amendments. And we're going to talk about them next week, and also some more of the Founding Fathers. And they, like I told you, with the Declaration of Independence, 29 of them had seminary degrees. 29 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. So we did have our Founding Fathers had Christian values, and they were Christians, just like John Adams said. You know, the general principles of our government are based on Christian principles. Alan, do you have anything to add? Alan's my go-to guy. He should be teaching this. He's awesome. So please do your homework. Please. No, just read it. And read again Psalm 35 and pray that for today. Yes, Patricia. There's some wonderful books. Yes. She was saying she saw a book at Cracker Barrel about the signers of the Declaration of Independence. So everybody go to Cracker Barrel. Barry, can we go? Barry picks on me about Cracker Barrel. He says he wants to go for lunch, and he ends up spending $100 because I go to the store. They're so smart. They're very smart. So, well, I am finished for tonight. So if you don't have any more questions, or if you've got anything else to add, please do. Please. I want it to be audience participation. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. I'll turn the reins back over.
All right. Well, let's all stand together tonight. You learning anything? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lorelei. I was just thinking, every time I read through that declaration and just meditate, especially on the first couple of paragraphs, and you begin to just think about what's happening in our nation right now, especially when you get that little Bill of Rights and you read through it too. We're living in a very dangerous time, and silence is not golden. By any means, it's time to speak up. It really is. And to really pray, about what's happening in our nation, because, what's happening is lawlessness in our land. It has nothing to do with rising against a tyrannical government or anything like that. I think it is a government-connected thing myself. But we have, it's a lot to pray about. And especially, I do encourage you, if you don't vote, you need to vote. And, I could tell you, know who you're voting for and what they believe. I'm very strong in my opinion. I don't really care whether you like it or not. But if you vote for a baby murderer, you're sinning. I want you to know that. And you need to have enough guts to know what you're voting for. And so many, and it's like, I'm 66 years old, so hey, I don't know how old the oldest person is or anything like that, so I've been around a while myself, and I can tell you I've never seen a day like we're living in right now. Defiance of God, defiance of the Scripture, saying they don't need to swear in on the Bible, or don't even want to pray, or ask people if they want to pray, that is in total contradistinction against that Declaration of Independence. And so we're at a boiling point. I was telling my people this Sunday morning, we're at a boiling point. And, I think that it's coming to the place that we're very shortly going to see something explode like we've never seen it explode before. And the only way to avert that is for God to send a great awakening or a real revival into the land. But I don't think that'll come unless people stand up and do what's right. and vote the right people in. And you say to yourself, like she's talking about, was it court that would, Cassio, oh, I can't even think, what's her name? The Muslim girl. You see, our founding fathers never intended for a Muslim to be in office. And you sit and you wonder how stuff like this happens and what people believe and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, that if I was going to cut it short, I said, we got a bunch of idiots in control. They need to be voted out in Jesus' name. Amen. I just cut right through the chase. And pray for our nation. You know, we're part of it. And so that's why you meditate those first couple of paragraphs and just think about the tenor of the times and think about what's happening right now. Think about what they had to do. And you think about what's going on from state to state and some of our major cities and things right now. And nobody seemingly wants to do anything. And so I think you're going to see citizens rise up is what I think. And so take it back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Things are happening pretty quick, I think, in America. And that's right. Oh, yeah, they love to have that. Amen. Matter of fact, if you meditate on the first few paragraphs, think about COVID. When you read that Bill of Rights, think about COVID. You think about that when you meditated that. Okay? Well, I'm shutting up. Father, thank you tonight for our nation. Thank you, Father, for the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. You've given us many, many freedoms. And Father, we do hold those things dear to our heart tonight. And Father God, we right now just ask you to stir hearts across this land. Father God, Lord, from state to state to state, I pray for an awakening amongst the people of God. Father God, to awaken in the spirit. Father God, that we can get beyond that paycheck or get beyond that home or that car or just life in general and really see that, Father, those things are ebbing away very swiftly. And Father God, that, Lord, what we really need is a real national repentance. And Father God, you are a God of mercy, and we ask for that, Lord. And Father God, we pray tonight that, Lord, that your kingdom come, your will be done. And we pray over you tonight and say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance unto you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he grant you peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.